2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. As we continue to go through our theme for this year of study, and by the way, the reason why this is taking such a long time is because there's much to study, okay? There's much to learn in these verses, and we want to be a complete Christian. That should be the goal of every believer, is to be a complete Christian. And so, as we look to what Paul is teaching Timothy, by the way, he's not just teaching Timothy, he's trying to teach us as well. And these things are for our admonition, that we may be the people of God that God wants us to be. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read verses 14 through 26. You can join me out loud on the even verses. So we'll begin together, and then I will read the odd verses by myself as we go through this passage. Let's begin together in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness and charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We've been laboring here in this chapter of the Bible for, since the beginning of the year. So successfully for 5 months already. I hope it's been not a labor, if you will, as far as a drudgery. But I hope that it's been a blessing to you. Realizing that, yes, there's reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is fantastic. I hope that you have a Bible reading schedule. You read through the scriptures. And listen, every Christian, every believer ought to read the Bible every day. I really believe that. I think you should in some capacity, okay? Whether it's a chapter, whether it's several chapters. I'm for reading the Bible through in a year. I think that you should read your whole Bible every year. I think that's a great thing, okay? But as you know, reading is one thing. Comprehending is another thing, right? But also study is even a deeper thing. And certainly meditation is beyond that, right? So you understand that as we work with the Word of God and as we grow and mature as Christians, we need to get to the place where we are actually going line by line, precept by precept, every jot, every tittle, every little nuance. We ought to be trying to absorb or to search out or to set our mind on the things of God. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about cherry picking where you go about picking this verse or picking this doctrine or picking this subject and then building a religion upon it. That's not what we're talking about. We are simply talking about trying to completely understand our great God. That's what it is. And I'll borrow a phrase from Paul, that I may know him. You understand, folks, how badly do you want to know your God? How badly do you want to know your Savior, Jesus Christ? And I'm speaking in these possessive terms because if you're born again, He is yours and you are His. Right? Remember what we learned back here in verse 19. He says, the Lord knoweth them that are His, right? And then He says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So He says, basically, I know if you're mine, but I want you to say that I am yours. You know, and if you are going to, then don't live like the old nature. Depart from iniquity. And He says, then He goes on to being a vessel unto honor. Folks, we ought to be a vessel unto honor. But how do you know what's honorable if you don't study the Word of God? Who defines what's honorable? God does, okay? Do not look to the world for the definition of what's honorable. Do not. They don't know. And they're going to tell you the opposite. We talked about this last time. We talked about fleeing youthful lust. Lust is desiring that which is forbidden. And the world's going to tell you that following God is forbidden, but God's going to say that following after sin in the world is forbidden. See, they're on opposite spectrums, and each one are saying the other thing is forbidden. Because we know that the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit after the flesh. You understand that those things are a truth. So we've got to realize that we've got to figure out which way is up. We've got to figure out which way is right. Because the natural man is going to tell us one thing is right, and the spiritual man is going to tell us something else entirely is right. Because we have the works of the flesh, we have the thoughts of the flesh, and we have the works of the Spirit and the thoughts of the Spirit. We have two different things to balance, to figure out, to study, to look at, to discern. So as we've been going through these things, last week we talked about simply flee and follow. Flee and follow. And this week, we want to know what to follow after. So as we escape and we run away from evil, from what God said is forbidden, those youthful lusts, we are fleeing unto something to follow after. And we talked about how following after simply means to pursue or press toward. Remember, there's that prize for the calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? Press toward the mark, right? And so we have something to press toward, to follow after, and that is the things that God defines. Now, I gave you a reference last week in 1 Timothy chapter 6, which is another place in Scripture where it is almost identically said to follow after something, okay? So, and again, preceding that is the word flee. So look at 1 Timothy, just go back a few pages, chapter 6, and look at verse 11. Paul tells Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. So there's the flee part. And then he says, flee these things, and follow after. Okay? Now, so we have two cases here. And by the way, Paul did not forget that he told Timothy this in his first letter. So he said, oh, you know what? I guess I forgot to tell you this in the first letter, so I'm going to tell you in the second letter here. No, this is an emphasis. This is a bolstering and a strengthening of an idea. So Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to flee and to follow after righteousness. Look, we'll flip back and forth. So just flip back and forth with me. Follow after righteousness. In 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, follow righteousness. We got a match, right? Okay, that's one match. Then he says, follow righteousness, Godliness. Now that godliness is not listed here in 2 Timothy. And then he says faith. Oh, that one's there. That's two, right? Two that match up. And then he says here in chapter 6, he says faith. He says love. Well, guess what? That particular love is agape love, which you, if you look it up, you figure that out. And we're gonna, that's benevolent love. That's that love to help somebody or to be of a blessing to them. But so is charity. Okay, so that matches. Then it says peace. Over here in chapter 6, he says patience and meekness. All right. Now, patience and peace are kind of kinship. They're kindred, okay? Because if you have patience, you are pretty much peaceful, all right? Long-suffering, if you will, and patient. But these things are, there's a lot of similarities with these. Now, you understand that we're supposed to follow these things. So as I am running away from or escaping the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all that is in the world, because we know that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So I'm running away from those things. I'm, if you will, putting those things behind. I'm escaping from the flesh, from the works of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, the things that the flesh is trying to claw and grab hold of me with and draw me back into the old nature. I'm running away toward righteousness, faith, peace, godliness, patience, meekness. Now, we're going to get into each one of these eventually. I was hoping for today, but I don't know that it's going to happen. But we, if you're going to run toward something, you better know what you're running toward. Or if you're going to pursue after something, you better know what it is that you're trying to obtain. How many of you, you like to do things with purpose? Okay? If I am playing a game, all right, I want to win. You say, it's just a game. Don't tell me that. Okay? It's not just a game. If it's just a game, then I don't really want to have anything to do with it because I want to win. I want to win. And you know what? If I'm going to watch a television show, you know what I want? I want to watch the show. I don't like interruptions when I'm watching TV because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it all the way. I want to know the plot. And in the first 5 minutes, I'm going to figure out who did it. And I'm going to, because I am in that show. I mean, because whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do with all, it's a biblical principle. Do with all thy might. Hey, listen, folks, I want to know what I'm going after, right? And by the way, we in all the endeavors of our life, we should have an earnest, we should have a desire, we should have a want to obtain. Folks, why? You have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't you want to obtain life with Christ and the crown of righteousness and all the different things and just what God has for us and the, I mean, or you're just okay with, you know, I used to run cross country when I was in high school, and I would run track, long distance and track. You know what? Like Paul said, we all run the race to obtain the prize, but not everybody can get the prize. And you know, we ought to want to do it with purpose and with endeavor. And we ought to want to put the time in to obtain. And so we've got to realize that God wants us to follow after. So I need to know what I'm getting into. What is righteousness? Now, in both cases, in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, the word righteousness is the first thing that we are supposed to follow after. Now, let me tell you something about our Savior. Folks, we are bought with a price. We have, if we are born again, we have understood we're a sinner. We have understood our need of a Savior, and we have looked to Jesus Christ to save us from our sin. Okay? Why? Because Jesus Christ is the righteous, holy, perfect Lamb of God. And by the way, one of the titles of Jesus that I love the most is Jesus Christ the Righteous. Folks, He is the definition of righteousness. Our great Savior. So as Paul says, Timothy, follow righteousness. What's he saying? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. I need to run away from the world and I need to follow Jesus. The world is unrighteous, everyone. Please understand, no matter how much you paint a pig, it's still a pig. Right? You can dress it up in clothes. Have you ever seen that? That's kind of funny. You can paint it, right? You can go wash it. You can clean it up. You can even house train a pig. Do you realize you can do that? Okay? But it's still a pig. Folks, the devil makes this world look all gussied up, all prettied up, all painted up. It makes it look good. It makes it sound good. It makes it appear good, but it's not good. It is unholy, unrighteous. It is filthy. It is disgusting. It is destructive. It is horrible. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't believe them. It's all a lie. The devil is the master deceiver. He is the father of lies. He wants to lure you back in through the temptations and the lusts of this world. But if you're going to follow righteousness, you've got to put the world behind you and the cross before you. You've got to decide that you're going to follow Jesus. Right? I have decided to follow Jesus. You've heard that, right? And the origin of that song. And you understand that you've got to put the world behind you. You've got to flee it and follow righteousness. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Hello, everyone. Every single time. Every time. We were talking about, I don't even have, it's in my office. We were talking about the silliness of the English language, right? Folks, there are no exceptions to this rule. Evil communication corrupts good manners all the time. It does. The world corrupts you all the time. If you're drawn into the world, it's going to corrupt you. If you walk in the flesh, you will be destroyed. If you walk in the Spirit, you will live. These are facts. This is not fiction. This is not, well, some of the time. Oh, by the way, most of us, sometime in our lives, by the way, and I hope that as you've gotten older, you're more wise about this, but what do most kids say, or most teenagers say, or most young people say, when someone says, well, you shouldn't do that, they say, well, that won't happen to me. Oh, I know what happened to so-and-so, but I'm the exception to the rule. You know, oh, I can go get too close to that girl or that boy, and I won't fall into sin. Oh, what makes you so much better than the next person? Nothing. It'll happen. By the way, doesn't the Bible tell us if we take fire into our bosom, we're going to be what? We're going to be burned. Just 79.8% of the time? No, 100% of the time. Folks, we've got to flee and follow. World behind us, Christ before us. We need righteousness. He says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And then Paul says this to the Corinthians. By the way, the Corinthians were having a hard time with carnality. They were still attached to this world. And a lot like the church we're talking about in Sunday school, the church of Sardis, you understand that they had the name of Christ, but they were dead. They were too worldly. They weren't filled with the Spirit like they were supposed to be. So Paul says to them, and by the way, this is our call today, if you will. He says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." He says, "Awake to righteousness." Isn't that a wonderful call? Christians, wake up! The world is going to drag you down. Righteousness is going to drag you up. So grab hold of it and enjoy the ride. You understand? Lay hold of it. He says, awake, wake up to righteousness. Open your eyes. Understand. Realize what it's all about, because we need to live this way. Then he even further says, awake to righteousness. And sin not. And sin not. And then he says, for some have not the knowledge of God. There's a reason, folks. We need to awake to righteousness. We need to put away sin, because there are people out there that don't know God. And they need to know God. And we are the voice, we are the mouthpiece of righteousness, of Jesus Christ, to a lost world that doesn't know God. Why is it important to live a clean, holy, pure, sanctified, righteous life? Because we're bought with a price. We're not our own. But because people need to see Jesus. They need to see what a changed life is all about. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me wind my clock back about 20 minutes. I say clock. My wrist clock. Yes. Amen. Look at verse 17. Ephesians 4. Now remember, we're talking about flee and follow. But what are we following? What are we pressing toward? What are we trying to pursue after? And I'm telling you that by definition, when it says righteousness, we're following after Christ. He is righteousness. He is our righteousness. That's what we need to be following. Look what he says in verse 17. Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Okay, so remember, he's talking about some differences of two things. So we have that we are not supposed to walk this way. He goes on and says, having the understanding darkened. By the way, what does the book of 1 John tell us about Christ? About God? That he's light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay? So it says that these people have their understanding darkened, that they're, he says, being alienated. By the way, if you're alienated from something, you are separate from it, right? You have been separated from it. He says, alienated from the life of God, he says, through the ignorance. Now, in a way, what is the opposite of ignorance? Knowledge, which means you have studied, okay, or come to the knowledge, you've pursued, you've set your mind on it, etc. So you see all these opposites that are here? So he says here that these people, they're in darkness, they're separated from God, they're ignorant to all of this, he says, because of the blindness of their heart. Right? So this is all a description of lost people. He says that who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said, this is the old way. This is the flesh that's condemned to hell already. This is wickedness. This is evil. This is all of what's forbidden. He said here that ye henceforth walk not. So, by the way, if I'm walking with it, am I fleeing it? No. If I'm walking away from it, am I fleeing it? Yes. Okay? Now we should flee a little faster, right? We should be running away from it. But the point is, I'm walking away from that, and I'm walking unto righteousness. Now listen to what Paul says next. He says, but ye have not so learned what? Christ. Folks, what is Christ? Righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Christ's righteousness is perfect. When we get saved, we get Christ's righteousness. It's like a coat we put on. It's His righteousness. It's put on us, but it's ours. And we need to pursue after it. Do you know it's not natural for me in my flesh to want to be righteous? We love Him because He first loved us. So we need to pursue righteousness. I've got to seek after it. I've got to follow after it. I have to make my wicked flesh leave the world and go to Christ. Flee and follow. That's what I need to do as a Christian. Because I've not learned, but ye have not so learned Christ. It says, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. So by the way, this is step by step. You say, Pastor, how do I do this? Well, Paul is telling us how. We can. If we have heard, if we have believed, remember, we've trusted Christ. We've tasted that He's gracious. We know our great Savior. He is the righteous one. He is the one to follow. We need to follow Him. So here's what He says to do. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. By the way, here's that word again, lusts. Youthful lusts, deceitful lusts, they grab hold of us, and we've got to flee from them and follow Christ, because we've not so learned Christ. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need a new way of thinking, people. If we're going to follow after righteousness, we have to decide that what Jesus is righteousness. Because the Bible tells us that the old nature is going to tell you, don't follow Christ. And the new nature is going to say, don't follow the world. They're opposed one to the other. And we've got to realize that we need to be renewed in our mind. We need to put on the new man, which after God is created, now listen to this, in righteousness. We're created in righteousness. The Bible says that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's unrighteousness. Behold, all things are become, that's righteousness. We have been created in righteousness. By the way, in Ephesians chapter 2, you do understand that the Bible tells us that we're saved, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So what are we created in? Okay, when we're created anew, when we're born again, we're created in Christ Jesus. How many of you believe the Bible is true? Through and through, every word. Okay? So Ephesians tells us we're created in Christ Jesus. We're here in Ephesians chapter 4, and Paul says that what are we created in? Which after God is created, what? In righteousness and true holiness. Math teacher, fellow math teacher. How many of you know the algebraic term substitution. You're like, don't do that, Brother Combs. We're in, first of all, it's summertime, and the rest of us are out of school, okay? Brother Nicholas, when we substitute one for the other, what do they have to be? They have to be equal. It's called equality. By the way, you know how much I love math. Math is absolute. So let me ask you a question. If righteousness and true holiness and Christ are different things, can we substitute any of those? No. They have to be what, everybody? Equals. So let me ask you a question. Can we be created in Christ and created in righteousness and created in holiness if they're not all equals? Do you see the equality? Christ is righteous. Christ is holy. That word is in math is an equal sign. When you do word problems, some of you like word problems. I love word problems. It's practical math. Okay? Word problems. Wonderful things. I just lost the whole crowd, Brother Nicholas. I mean, don't get mad at me. I love math, okay? It's absolute. You should love math too. But do you see the equality? The new man is created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians tells us, right? Ephesians 4 tells us that the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Folks, that's an equality. The old things are passed away. The unrighteousness, the unholiness, life without Christ is passed away. Flee from it. Run away from it. Get away from it. Escape from it. Unto Christ. Holiness. Righteousness. He says, wherefore, put away lying. Every man, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Excuse me. By the way, what about our Savior? Did he lie? No. Was guile found in his mouth? No. Holiness, perfect, right? How about this? He says, then be ye angry and sin not. What, did our Savior ever get angry? Yes, but he did it without sin. Is he an example to us? Absolutely. He says here, going on, he says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He says, neither give place to the devil. Did Christ give the devil any place? No, he fought him tooth and nail the whole way, right? He says here, let him that stole steal no more. Did Jesus steal anything? No. He says, but let him labor, working with hands, the thing that is good, that he may have to give that him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. By the way, did Christ do that? No. He said, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, but whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Flee. Flee and follow. He says, then be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Jesus Christ is our ultimate example of righteousness. So if you want to put it in a quick word that took, 15 minutes to describe, we need to follow Christ. Paul is not telling Timothy just to follow after an idea like righteousness. He's telling us to follow after a person. Follow Christ. Christ is our righteousness. He's our example. He is what we're supposed to become. By the way, the Bible tells us we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Jesus. The very word Christian means little Christ. I ought to want to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, be like Jesus all the time. Because that means I'm running away from the world and I'm running toward Jesus. And I know what I'm pursuing. I know what I'm trying to obtain. In Philippians 1, Paul writes to the church of Philippi and says this, and he says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent." By the way, who is excellent? Christ. Christ is excellent. He says, "That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." He says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness." Now, pay attention. We're going to get another definition here, and this is going to prove our equality. Righteousness, holiness, Christ, they are the same. Listen to what Paul says. "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, comma, which are..." Now, what does that tell you, all you English lovers out there? We're about to get a definition, right? He says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, comma, which are..." What do you expect to hear next? What the fruits of righteousness are, right? Right? Here's what they are. "Which are by Jesus Christ." Ta-da! You say, that doesn't explain very much. Oh, it explains everything. Jesus Christ is righteousness. And that's what we need to follow. We need to follow after righteousness. He says, "Unto the praise, glory and praise of God." By the way, through all of Christ's earthly ministry, he kept saying, "I'm here to please my Father. I'm here to glorify my Father. I'm here to obey my Father. I'm here to follow after my Father. I'm here to complete what my Father has sent me to do." Over and over again, that's what Jesus Christ said during his earthly ministry. And then he says, even "as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Folks, we're supposed to be followers of Christ. We're supposed to be followers of righteousness. Follow after righteousness. The second thing he says is follow after faith. Faith. Now, we're only going to get through two of these today, and I probably shouldn't even start this one. But it has to do with the first one. Okay? What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's what Hebrews tells us. Hebrews 11 is a fantastic passage of scripture about faith. But faith means to draw toward a thing, to believe and to obey. Right? That's what faith is. And in a spiritual sense, in particularly, what is that thing we're supposed to draw toward? Christ. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Okay? So you understand that it's not just any faith. By the way, if I'm drawn toward something, or I trust and I obey and I believe, right? And I say that this chair can hold my weight, right? What am I going to do? I'm going to be tentative, right? I'm going to... Right? And I'm going to... Oh, I don't know if it'll work. Not sure. Oh, I think I felt a creak. Right? Is that how it's going to be? No. When you have faith and you follow after faith, what do? I'm good, right? Or as I like to do it, because my mom always told me not to jump on the furniture. You're like, "It's creaking." Yeah, but it's right. I have faith. This is faith. I'm following after. I'm jumped in whole hog. I'm all in. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my all in all. There's nothing else. The world's behind me. It's gone. I'm away from it. I'm following righteousness, faith. Folks, what can shake your faith? What? What is it that can shake your faith?
Nothing should be able to. Your faith should be solid. You should be in it all the way. Our faith should be unshakable. It should be unmovable. It should be always abounding. Because the more we learn about God, the more it should strengthen our faith. Hey, why do you think it says, fight the good fight of faith? Right? Earnestly do what? Contend for the faith. Because it's a battle. And it's something that we've got to pursue. We need to pursue our faith. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Hey, by the way, doesn't it tell us to add to your faith? Strengthen your faith. Bolster your faith. When Paul says flee, he says follow Christ. But then he says follow faith. Are you letting faith lead you? Remember, it's the unseen. How many of you have seen Jesus face to face? Nobody, right? We've only seen him through his word. Folks, you know what? I will admit to anybody that my belief in that this is the book of God is by faith. Oh, I have all kinds of physical and historical evidences. Please understand it. But at the end of the day, at the bottom line, it is completely by faith that this is God's book. But guess what? My faith has been bolstered. It's been strengthened. It's been added to. Because you understand, I need a strong faith. I need to follow it to be able to escape the snares of the devil. Do you know what? There's never a time he's not trying to draw me back into the world. And I've got to stand fast in the faith. He says, quit you like men. That doesn't mean quit. That's a different phrase. You understand? That means be strong. That means to resist. Folks, in our faith, we have to resist the temptation to doubt. I preach a whole series of messages on this where Jesus told his disciples, no faith, little faith, right? Great faith, much faith. Folks, listen, there are different levels of your faith. You've got to bolster it. You've got to follow after it. You got to keep up with it. Our faith. We need to exercise our faith. We need to stand fast in our faith. We need to be strong in our faith. These are things we have to follow after. We have to pursue. We cannot stop. Let me ask you a question as we close today. If I stop following after Christ, what's going to happen to me? I'm also stopping what? Fleeing from the world. Whoever said that should get a prize. Because that's exactly right. If I stop following after my faith, what's going to happen? The world's going to catch me. I don't know if you're sci-fi fans or not, but the tractor beam's going to link on. Suck you back in. It's a problem. Paul loved Timothy. And he loved the church. And he didn't want it to fail. So he said, flee and follow.